Miwas, Eric Ortega, welcome to Paula Live Past and Present. This is the show where you see Paula in the eyes of the people that have lived here. Well, again, this is Eric, and I'm going to be talking about the song Tukmachi, or Silent Night, and also Chemuet Champeyowa. Chemuet Champeyowa. And that means Christmas in Copeno. So, well, hope you enjoy the show. Here's a clip from our interview. We're going to have a little interview with, it's actually a replay of an older interview. This is with Chairman Smith, where he's talking about sovereignty and how it relates to the reservation, how it's changed over the past 20 years since he's been in office, and or actually it hasn't changed, but how it's been applied over the last 20 years since he's been in office. Here's a little clip from the interview.
No, again, I can't stress enough that sovereignty, you know, 18 tribes in San Diego County, every one of us is different. Some have full power, some have limited power. But
on to the song Silent Night, or as they say in Copeno, Tukmachi. And when you go to Midnight Mass, they'll be playing this song there. They sing it every year at Midnight Mass, Silent Night, Holy Night, but they sing it in Copeno as well. Okay, now we're looking at our lesson of the day, since we're at the Christmas season, or in Copeno, it'd be Chemuet Champeyowa. Chemuet Champeyowa. Chemuet Champeyowa. And that, according to Mulowit Tom, is how you say Christmas in Copeno. And we'll break that down later to see exactly what that means. But in the meantime, let's break down this song. You probably remember it. It's Tukmachi, Tukmachi, or Silent Night. Now, the first line on the Copeno words for the song are Tukmachi, Yahya Wene. I know you thought I was going to start singing, huh? Nope, I'm not going to do it. Tukmachi, Yahya Wene. Now, Tukmachi, or Tukma, means night. Tukmachi means at night. Tukmachi. And Yahya Wene, Yaha means to say. But I was always raised with Chumya. Chumya means be quiet. So, the interpretation I get on Yahya Wene means it's all quiet. So the song, the English part of the song says all is calm at that part. So this means Yahya Wene, the words in the Copeno version of Silent Night, means all is calm or quiet. Now the next line is Puta Umma, Puta Umma. It goes Puta Umma Chech Yahweh, Puta Umma Chech Yahweh. Which Puta Umma means all or everything. And you remember that from the other song, Kupanga Patami. Kupanga Patami means Copeños and everything, or all the Copeños, or everything, meaning everything that belonged to the Copeños. But that's the first part of that song. So that word is we've used before. So in Silent Night, it's Puta Umma. Puta Umma. And that means all or everything. And then the next line is Chech Yahweh, meaning to be clean, shining, or to be light, as in the light of day. So that means all is calm, all is bright. So that's what Bata'ami Chech Yahweh means, Chech Yahweh. Pata'ama Yahweh. It means all is calm, or all is bright. I'm sorry, all is bright. And the next line is Nawishmo Pavu'au Puyinish Icha Pama'au. Now, when you break that down, Nawishmo means girl. Everybody knows that, right? Everybody remembers that from the old lessons. No, Wishmo means girl. Pavu'au. Well, Pavu'au is a word that we've actually used in a different context before. In this particular context, Pavu'au means spherical or circular. Pavu'au, the word or the suffix au at the end means like a location. So Pavu'au means in a circle. And the other word that we've heard that was like this was Puvyawinit, which means a circle. Puvyawinit. Remember those with Hupyawinit, Puvyawinit, and Mukwelawinit? You know what Puvyawinit means, a circle. Hupyawinit means a line, and Mukwelawinit means a curve. So that's Pavu'au, meaning in a circle or around something. Pulyanish. Pulyanish, Icha, Pumu'au. Pulyanish, Icha, Pumu'au. Pulyanish means baby. Ichao means nice or good. And Pumu'au means, well, means he is. Pulyanish means baby. Icha means nice, good, meek, tame. Pumu'au is, breaks down to his. Mu is like a location. It always precedes a location word, and au meaning at. So when it breaks down, it just means like he is. Pumu'au. And that Pulyanish Icha, when you look at the way Rosinda Nolasquez wrote this out, she actually has those two words capitalized. And, you know, usually capitalized, you don't capitalize just baby unless it's a religious context or a specific name. So those in the words of Silent Night, where she writes out Pulyanish Icha, they're capitalized to show you that's like a special name. That brings us to the last verse, which is Kupa Moyachyahua. Kupa means sleep, and it's got that double U in there, and that double U isn't supposed to be like broken up. It's supposed to be like flow through like Icha. Icha, when it's written out, it's E I or it's I C H A A, but that A doesn't mean Icha'a, it means Icha. It kind of draws it out. While Kupa means that Kupa, it's drawn out, and that means sleep. Ma, when it's written out as Ma'a or double A, but again, that's drawn out. Ma, that means to be to let alone, to leave something alone. And then Yahyahwe, when that goes back to the first verse, where it means, to be quiet or silence. So to sleep, to be left alone and sleep in silence, to be left alone to sleep in silence. Kupama Yahyahwe. That's how Rosinda Velasquez wrote out the words to Silent Night. And this was during the 60s. Rosinda Velasquez was a polytribal elder. She was working with linguistic anthropologists to record and preserve the Kupeno language. And one of the results of her work was Mulawatam. Another result of her work with the linguist Roderick Jacobs was the translation of 5 classic Christmas carols from English to Kupeno. I got these words from Rosinda Velasquez when she was teaching the classes way back in the day. But when I was working at the Cultural Center, I found those words again, and we put it in a little book with notes to it, so it kind of, you know, looks like regular music. Rosinda Velasquez's legacy was these Christmas carols, and she left them so that all the tribal members will know and enjoy the Christmas carols in Kupeno. And that's where I'm getting these words from that list of songs that she put out, or she translated into Kupeno. And you can find copies of this over at the Copa Culture Center, and or you can give us a call here at the radio station, and we do have this. And I'm not going to try to sing it for you, because I want to have more listeners, not less, so we're not going to do that. But what I will do is have someone else sing another bird song for you, so just hang on right there, and we'll have another bird song coming your way. Kwisanam chi, kwisanam oyo oya, kwisanam oyo.
Chrisanum tetelekwe, yiyapa, pusha, nashil, help. Chrisanum chi, Chrisanum moya oya, Chrisanum tetelekwe, yiyapa, pusha, nashil, help. Chrisanum chi, Chrisanum moya oya, Chrisanum tetelekwe, yiyapa, pusha, nashil, help.
Okay, here we go. That was a great song. Now we're going to go to the interview with Chairman Smith, asking Chairman, you know, what is sovereignty and what does it mean to the reservation and how has it been applied over the last 20 years?
What is sovereignty?
I look at it, Native American tribes are fortunate. The United States government has recognized sovereignty and Indian nations to exercise it. That's created both a difficult challenge and incredible opportunities for Native American tribes. Sovereignty means different things to different people. Known as the S word, I mean, sovereign is to govern and make laws that affect your, it'd be like the nation of Iran. They're a sovereign nation, independent, to make their own rules and the citizens abide by them. Again, while independent, self-governing, political community, we believe sovereignty means that our long-term government bases interests are served by accommodating the legitimate needs of neighboring governments. So we work together, one cup, with different, like the San Diego Association of Governments, all the 18 mayors and 18 cities. Mm-hmm. I was fortunate to sit on the board as ex officio, as being a tribal leader, but I had no vote, but I got to meet with them, so it would be the same thing. Like the city of San Diego has a city council, mm-hmm. Indian tribes have tribal councils. And every government set up structure is set up separate. Some tribes, the council has full authority to adopt budgets, adopt ordinances, and so on. Our tribe is different. The general council has to, you know, adopt budgets, pass ordinances by majority vote. So everybody's different. Sovereignty needs more than just a way of life. It must serve as our foundation as we teach and empower our members and upcoming young members to exercise their sovereignty.
Oh, yeah.
So, like when people come into our reservation, we have signs posted that you're entering the sovereign nation of the Pawnee Indian Reservation. You must abide by all federal, state laws, tribal laws. If not, if you catch somebody trespassing, fishing, poaching, and they can come to tribal court. So that's the way of exercising. One example.
Okay.
With determination and ingenuity and perseverance, we have the ability to expand our civic and charitable nature as Indian tribes. It's both our duty and obligation to inspire our youth, prepare them for the future, and build strong leaders. You know, I'm not going to be around forever, so whoever's going to be my position, as well as other councils elected, but they should know the sovereignty, the history of the tribe, the Constitution, the ordinance, and learn tribal government, and how to work with county, state, federal, and nationwide government. So that's another big part of it.
Yeah, I think it's important, too, like with the rules and stuff, that people understand how those rules came about. Because, you know, somebody will make up a rule and everything.
Exactly. Like when I got in office, there's a book called, there's probably 11 editions that I know of. It's called Robert's Rules of Order.
Oh, yeah.
Because my name's Robert, everybody thought that was my rule. So, you know, there's actually a book, so it's kind of funny and ironic, and people believe that I made up my own rules. So, I mean, me as a tribal leader, believe it's more than ever, it's important to set a precedent, set issues crossing boundaries between state lines and sovereign lines. You know, it means tribal land. We have the county road coming through here. We have a state highway.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, negotiating those kind of things. And with my past experience of over 20 years being tribal leader, I'm fully aware of the need to building lasting, enduring relationships with state and federal leaders. Like, we opened up our casino in 2000. We had to do a local agreement with the county where we agreed to help with road improvements, you know, traffic, law enforcement, which we did. It worked out great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we just did that. Another good example, we widened the highway here off 15, you know, 1.5 miles of four lane. And it was us, the county, the state, and a granite construction company that came up with the agreement. We funded it, helped fund it, so it accomplished something. We all worked together on it. So that was a good example. And also, I think the tribe recognizes that a critical importance of development and preserve positive government-to-government relationships with whoever, the county, state, federal, local. We're committed to listening to the concerns of the local elected officials and members of the community. And our intent is to mitigate off-reservation impacts like traffic. You know, another big issue just in the paper today is about tribes buying up land and transferring it from fee status, which means taking tax revenue away from the county and put it to a federal trust under federal government. There is a big process. There's a misconception that they think we just fill out this application, sign our name, it's a done deal. But you have to get title insurance. You have to have a survey. We follow the National Environmental Quality Act, which is comparable to the California Environmental Quality Act. They come do a site visit. Your property tax has to be current. You have to put it up for public comment. So it's like one of our properties just took us 5 years to get 50 acres in trust. So just the perception of the article. I got interviewed in an article, and they said a little bit what I said, but not all what I said. It was all, you know, the local communities are worried about Indian tribes getting more land back. And which,
right.
I'm a firm believer way back before the 1800s, this was Indian land all the way to the ocean. You know, we migrated to the ocean and came back, so it was all open air until, you know, the Spanish land grants and all that came about. So,
yeah. And that was the missions too, actually,
yeah.
Cut into that land.
Yeah. And also, we recognize that we share the land with our neighbors, so we got to be good stewards of the land. Also, it's a moral obligation, I believe, that to allow them a forum, discuss any concerns they might have regarding our plans for development. We don't have to do that, but I just think it's the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
Involve them because, you know, they live here too with us, like we live in this rural area. So I'm also fully aware of the need to around common interests and goals so we can work for long-lasting enduring relationships. Again, working with like the Paula Palmer sponsor group in Palma, they do planning and land use. So we should be working with them. You know, let us know what we're doing. We don't have to, but I just think, again, it's a moral obligation. A lot of times they'll come to us and ask me my input on development along Highway 76, so I just start working with them. Also, as independent, self-governing political communities, we must and willing to adjust the present issues before us, such as social welfare, education, which we do. We work with a lot of Bonneville School District,
mm-hmm.
for annual funding agreement, bus transportation. Because we have fought long and hard to get where we are, and we cannot stop now. So there's still much to be gained working with, you know, school districts, planning groups, etc. Also, to establish a cooperative relationship with the state of California, which we did. We have a compact, one that respects autonomy of both governments, so the state's autonomous and the tribe's autonomous.
Mm-hmm.
Intergovernmental cooperation with both cost-effective and serves the best interest of all involved. So that's why we agreed to have, we have exclusivity to our casino and our machines, but we also have to give some to that, so we have to pay the state amount of money of yearly income, which, you know, lets us have what we need to have.
Right.
So that's, again, working together. So that's why I think the current compact serves a win-win example of both the tribe and the state. Our economy is not only allows for the tribe to provide for our members, but improves the economic health of California. We have 1,900 people working in our enterprise, which, and we buy all over, you know, millions of dollars from local vendors of, you know, vegetables, meat, poultry, supplies, so distributors, or soda, alcohol, paper goods, you name it. We buy, we have to import everything, so that's a good way of working.
And also, too, with our trash and everything like that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that provides jobs and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. And then we haul the trash off-site to a, you know, a recognized landfill, which we pay fees for disposing mm-hmm. of our trash there. So, again, talking about the, you know, the issue of land in the trust, to establish gaming revenues. This is not the case for the majority of our people. A lot of people have the perception that, say, if we buy land, which we own 90 acres at the corner of Highway 76 and I-15, unless the land we owned it before 1998, you can't put it in trust. It's federal law that prohibits that. But a lot of people just think we could do that. So, again, there's a misconception, you know, so you got to really educate them. And, again, talking about the contributions, in 2004, the tribe and several others entered into a new gaming compacts that supersede our old ones in the state of California that provide a fair contribution of gaming revenues that will compensate the state for years to come. Our compact's up in 2030, so we've got a ways to come and still have to pay the state for what we have. These agreements guarantee important increased protections for casino patrons, workers, and the environmental and local communities. So again, that's another way of exercising your sovereignty, executing those kind of things. While the tribe remains opposed to off-reservation, in which tribes claim territorial rights in marketable locations such as outside Indian lands, I mean, there's some tribes that were trying to go from our area, say, get land in Barstow, which, you know, I could see if they had there and they wanted to do it, there's viable, but, you know, there's developers that we call it reservation shopping that'll go to X tribe that's remote location, bad economic, you know, has no income, and try to use them to get venues in the metropolitan area. So our yeah. tribe is adamantly opposed to that because it sets a bad precedent, and the perception is other tribes will do it. So, but we've came out against it. So, again, the right to be respected by other tribes, irrespective of whether those tribes agree with the terms of the agreement, you know, that's between us and whoever we're dealing with. Again, there's 18 individual tribes in the county of San Diego. Each have individual laws, policies, also recognizing to work with together with the region, key issues. So again, the 18 governments exercising their sovereign rights. So. Mm-hmm. And through intertribal councils, such as Southern California Tribal Chairman's Association, where we seek to protect and establish, exercise inherent sovereign rights and governments in coordination with other governments around us. So right now we work with Sandag, we do a lot of education things and stuff that are for our, each independent community. So, but organization as a whole, that's how we do that. And if there are in any government, there are some disagreements between tribes, but every tribe understands the ultimate responsibility is to provide the members well-being. So, I mean, every tribe is different, and they work it out with their local constituents. So, tribal sovereignty was preceded and developed the United States Constitution. The framers of the Constitution specifically recognized sovereignty of Indian tribes in Article 1, Section 8, Clause 3, which identified Congress as governmental branch authorized to regulate commerce with foreign nations among several states and with Indian tribes. It's in the Constitution, so yeah. Right there. That's a big part of it. Also, the Supreme Court of the United States has repeatedly recognized tribal sovereignty in court decisions for more than 160 years. In what is known as the Marshall Trilogy, the Supreme Court established a doctrine basis interpreting federal law and defining tribal sovereignty. They heard cases and kind of went with the tribes, not so in these latter years because we have a Supreme Court that's kind of, I would say, against tribes or opinion against tribes. So the bedrock principles resent the 19th century court decisions that continue today to guide the Supreme Court in the interpretation of respective rights of federal government and states and tribes. By virtue of aboriginal political territorial status, Indian tribes possess certain incidents pre-existing sovereignty. Such sovereignty was subject to elimination by the United States but not the individual states. The three tribes limited inherent sovereignty and their correspondence depends on the United States for protection imposed in the later trust responsibility. So those are just some aspects of, you know, with the Supreme Court and the tribes working together. Going back to every tribe, I mean, like us, we execute agreements, you know, ambulance service where we give up limited, but, you know, that's, again, to serve our membership. They can't, an Indian tribe can't be sued unless we consent to sue. A lot of people don't understand that. So a lot of these... our compact's another good example. We had to give up limited sovereignty to enforce it. Say if we reneged on the deal, then they could come after us or whatever. But those are some examples. They refer to the S word. They just think it's kind of a barrier, you know. But that's why a lot of, it took a lot of times. Like today, I have people that don't pay, buy some. So it comes to me, I have to sign up. And I look at, hey, if they signed a deal, said they would pay and they didn't pay, I mean, they have the obligation to come and get their property back. So I know it's difficult times, but, you know, they just... The perception's there, and it makes all of us, others that pay for our stuff, make, when we go try to buy stuff, it's harder for us to get because they have that experience of not being able to collect.
Yeah, there are those that, yeah, they kind of make it look bad because they do fall on that.
20 years ago, I mean, probably in the last 10 to 12 years, it's really changed, and be able to use and exercise our sovereignty. Before then, we, you know, we basically had ordinances, and we didn't have a tribal court there, so we couldn't enforce nothing. Now we write citations, and we really didn't have anything in 20 years. It was hard. It was hard to even get a bank loan. When our tribe went to build our mini mart, because we, you know, we had limited funds, and there was really no guarantee again to say we'd pay, so we had to put up our own line of credit to get a grant. We got to build the mini mart, the first mini mart, so we had to get an $80,000 line of credit, which Wells Fargo was willing to step up to do it. And of course, we had to put collateral to get it, but hey, we proved ourselves, and now we got banks crawling all over our back to give us a business we owned before. It's just, you know,
a lot more than $80,000.
Yeah. Oh yeah, we're talking millions, and it's just. I think it's a good feeling though, because, you know, it's like, you know, we proved ourselves as a tribe, and we have the wherewithal. You see the reservation now compared to 20 years ago. A lot has changed. I mean, I hear a lot of people say, "Well, you know, you bring people in," but, you know, we're bringing people into our enterprise that generates income to take care of everything we have on the reservation: the tribal government, health insurance, education, building new homes, and also give distributions to tribal members. So, I mean, it brings a lot, you know. But I remember the good old days, and shoot, our budget was $300,000. It was like pulling teeth to get that. That was just for a bare bones budget, you know, and now it's over hundreds of millions, you know. So,
yeah.
It's about a lot of change, but I think for the better, we have a lot of positive things, you know, the sports complex, the gym, again, housing, our own sewer system, that we have a fully functional sewer treatment plant, and so. A lot of good things.
How much do you know about the cable system when they put that in? I know that
was that was put in 1970, and that was probably the greatest thing. But the CBs,
Oh, the CBs.
CBs did it for free. So that was where we'd get free LA and San Diego channels. That was the best thing in the world. But now, you know, it's all, I mean, we pieced it together till then, but now Dish is out, so everybody has a Dish, so, you know.
Yeah, you don't even need a cable anymore. Just
but there, you know, again, they came out, the CBs, and pulled the line, stretched the line all the way to the top of the mountain, and, you know, we had to run, and, you know, we had guys working for us and ran transformers running in the village where it could go, so. And we charged a fee for the deal, you know, because we had to pay the technician to pay for the service, so, but. It's just like another good example is our fire department. I mean, we built that. Before, we had right downtown, an old Butler building, two people on, 7 days off. You had one truck, quick attack, where you had to talk on the radio, work on the patient, do traffic control, or fight the fire. So, I mean, now we got 33 full-time staff, three shifts. So, you know, we got a $9 million training facility, which is good. We serve not only our reservation, but the surrounding unincorporated area. So that's another good thing. You know, we have a partnership, auto aid with a Cal Fire and Rincon, and we got a auto aid, mutual aid with North County and San Diego County, so everybody works together. That's another good thing.
And other reservations send their firefighters down here to train, too, right?
Yeah, we use it as a training hub because it's hard. I think the only tower, live fire training towers in Poway, and it's hard, it's booked up, so we put one in here and we do a lot of trainings here for the north area.
Do they have, like, say, a preference for Native American reservations and stuff?
Yeah. It's open to everybody, first come, first serve, but a lot of our trainings we incorporate the local tribes, Palma, Paula, San Pasqual, and Pechanga, so we all work together. Saving property and lives is number one priority.
I know the shooting range is another one, too. A lot of other entities come there and
yeah, utilize that, yeah. CHP, police departments from Marietta. Local law enforcement, and local gaming operations to qualify for handguns, so it's a win-win.
And I know back when I was growing up, there wasn't much law enforcement here on the reservation, and now you see not only a lot of it, you know, like Pio Patrol and stuff like that actually monitoring or patrolling our streets, but you see a lot of them just coming in here for leisure and then going up here to work there,
yeah.
You know, shooting range. A lot of times, back when I remember, you would talk to some of the sheriffs, and they wouldn't come out here unless they were able to come out here in force.
Yeah.
Because there was a reputation, you know, out here.
Yeah.
And now they come out here in leisure time, and I think that's pretty cool. That's a big change.
Yeah. It was always, you know, me too, when I was going, it was always a bad experience to see any kind of law enforcement, or you know, something bad happen.
Yeah.
Now to see them out here just going by like anybody else, it's no big thing.
See all kinds of waving to them and stuff. When they get behind you, it still bothers me, though, but...
Yeah, you never know. I might have a tail light. Tags might be expired or something, yeah.
Then they pass by you, and it's Oceanside Police Department.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Or Marietta coming out to the shooting range.
Yeah, Marietta. Is there anything else?
No, again, I can't stress enough that, though, sovereignty, you know, 18 tribes in San Diego County, every one of us is different. Some have full power, some has limited power, but the bottom line, every tribe is independent, and they work with local governments as independent tribes, so... That's the whole big thing. But again, if you look like you look up the meaning of sovereignty, there is a meaning, but again, it's exercising your right to be sovereign, you know, and govern your territory, basically.
That's all we have for today. I'll talk to you all later. This is Eric Ortega from Paula Life Past and Present saying if you have any ideas, any questions, any thoughts, go ahead and send us an email at eortega@paulatribe.com. Or you can call us at 760-742-4200. Tell us what you think. We need all the input we can get to get people what they want to hear. Bye.